Well, hello, Woodman. You know, we don't say it enough, but y'all are a financially generous people. And I'm not just talking about our ABLE initiative, you know, seeking to get this building up and running as a center for ministry or looking to eradicate all of our financial debt. I'm talking about week in, week out through your general tithes and offerings, whether you're giving online or giving as you go. It's accomplishing a lot. Not just supporting staff, it's not just keeping on lights, it's not just buying fishy crackers for women and kids, it's actually going out the doors of our church. Do you know that almost one-fifth of every dollar you give leaves our building, either to serve people and meet needs in our community here, or we send them abroad to help individuals and organizations take the gospel to the very ends of the earth. And this weekend, we have some ways that you could participate in that work beyond simply giving. When you came in, you got a card that highlights the vast amount of global trip opportunities we have coming up in the next year. I wonder if this would be the year that you prayerfully consider whether or not God would use your gifts in service of Him to help fulfill the Great Commission. And so sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you get a card, you kind of glance at it and stick it in your Bible. I want this one to be a little different, to think about learning more, asking some questions, and maybe this year, to go. I'm really stoked because this morning we have one of our great global partners represented by my buddy, Pastor Øyvind Oglund. Øyvind is the founder and CEO of M4, and M4 is planting churches across Europe, and God is using them in remarkable ways. The churches that M4 plants, they keep going. And I was privileged to have helped them out on their board for a while. Woodman has been able to come alongside them and just watch from afar as God has expanded their ministry. So in just a moment, Øyvind's going to come up and bring the word. And I would ask you if you would give him now a warm Woodman welcome.
Thank you, church, and thank you to Pastor Josh for allowing a broken English Norwegian speaking speaker at the stage in Woodman. And welcome from Monument and Heights and Downtown and Ark Valley, and also you who are online to this Sunday service. Josh talked about mission trip, and we in the M4 ministry have had the privilege in Romania, in Norway, and in other places to have you coming into Europe and serve in God's mission in Europe. You have engaged, you have given, you have prayed, you have supported, you have encouraged. So thank you for your heart for mission, church. Thank you. Let's go to the scripture for today. You can find it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, if you take up your Bible or your mobile device. I will read it. And John writes, and the headline has been, "I'm writing to you." And probably you is all of you. So here, "I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sin has been forgiven on the account of His name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who are from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one." And he continues, "I'm writing to you, dear children, because you know the Father. And I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know He who is from the beginning. And I'm writing to you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Let's pray. Lord, this is your words given to us, to your church. A word of growing into maturity from childhood to adulthood to fatherhood. May your words encourage but also challenge us today when we listen to you and your voice. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray in your name. Amen. Before I go into the text, let me give you some geographical background. I'm from this city. It's Kristiansand. It's a small city in the southern part of Norway. 5.4 million inhabitants in Norway. The city is 120,000. My grandfathers established the church I belong to, the first congregation in Norway in 1877. Yes, there's some years ago. It's true. And I grew up in the city. My father wasn't a Christian. My mother belonged to the state church. And I grew up, and a church was planted 200 meters from my home. And I really come to faith and was engaged in that church. You know, it was like 100 years of pregnancies from 87 to 70 to 1977 when the church was planted. So I grew up in an environment of church planting. And look in this city here, in Kristiansand. You know, we are two denominational, evangelical free, evangelical Lutheran, who have 17, next picture, 17 churches in our city, 120,000. Our denomination, we are reaching like 5% of the population on the average week in our city because we have planted churches everywhere. We are with the people everywhere in every suburb. I think you have some of the same heart. You have just taken over a campus and in downtown, and you have a heart to reach the people. In our city, in our 64 congregation, we have around 18% of the population are regular attending the church. That's not naturally in Europe, but it's happening in our city. And we see a lot of young people come to faith now. I happen also to lead M4 in Europe. M4 was developed. I see, I just take this. I need to do this so I don't stumble in my shoes. M4 was developed in Norway. Different denominational church planting leaders came together. And we thought everybody could be a part of planting a church, but not everybody was the church planter. So we created a training around the Great Commission, a process helping the church planter and their team to start new congregation, new community of faith in Norway. And we created around the Great Commission, Master, I'm giving you all power. Everything starts with Christ. He is called, He is sent, He sustains, He builds. It's Christ-centered and Bible-based, everything to have a sustainable church. But it's also at go therefore. God has a mission. Reach new people for Christ. Church planting is reaching new people for Christ. And multiplication. Make disciples. Teach them. Baptize. Teach them to obey everything I commanded. Church planting is multiplying discipleship from the smallest unit. And then, I'm with you all day. God has a bigger purpose. We need to see churches that start churches. And we see some of that in Europe. In this year, 90 new churches have started the M14 process. Next year, probably 100 new churches start the M14 process. And we have a dream or a goal to see one church planted every day in the European context. And we think it's possible. And it's amazing to see what God is doing also in Europe. I will say some more about it, but let's go back to the text where we started. The text explores growth in maturity in faith from childhood to adulthood and ultimate into parenthood. Every development stage has own characteristics. And you know, that I'm a local pastor and people coming to faith. And so how can we move people into maturity in Christ? And that's what the text is talking about. How can we help children become young men and women and guide them to understand what it means to be parents and fathers and mothers in faith? But he starts, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sin has been forgiven on the account of his name. And he repeats, I'm writing to you, dear children, because you know the Father. There is foundational experience for every follower of Christ. We all start, and it always be the foundation. We are children of God. That's who we are. And to be children of God is to live with our sins forgiven and knowing the Father's love. And it's the basic of everything of life. It's the breath of a Christian children's life. Knowing the love of the Father and knowing their sins are forgiven. It's the ABC. I call it the ABC of, and I often quote 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, and say, awareness. They have tasted that the Lord is good. And you have come to him, the living stone. Belief. You have put your trust in Jesus' death and resurrection and forgiveness for your sin. And reject the come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. And also, like living stone, you are built into a spiritual home because there is a commitment, new commitment to brothers and sisters to be a part of community. That's the ABC, an awareness. You know, I have this jar here. Do you know what's in there? Honey. How does honey taste? Sweet. How do you know? You have tasted it. You've tasted it. But you also could have heard by others say it's sweet, and then you think it's sweet without tasting it. And you're the kind of the ABCs, you have tasted that the Lord is good. You know, 1 Peter 2, 3, chapter 2, verse 3 say, they have tasted that the Lord is good. And in the letter to Hebrew 6, verse 5, they say, they have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. And in Psalm 34, 9 say, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him. You know, you know that honey is sweet because you have tasted it, you experienced it. And I think that's so important. There is an experience of God, experience of the Father's love. You know the Father's love, experience of being cleansed by your sin. Have you experienced God? Let me tell some of my story. I was 16 years when I radically met Jesus in the local church planted 200 meters from my home. I was changed from inside. I loved the word. I was so in love with Jesus. So I 2 years, I went door to door and knocked on the door and say, I'm from this church. Can I tell you about Jesus? In my neighborhood. And then I went into the military, and there we saw the power of God. So people come to faith, people's life changed in the military. Then I went 1 year full-time, traveling around all of Norway. I was playing bass guitar in a band. And we shared the gospel on the streets, in the prison, in the church, in schools. And I was on fire. But then, 24 years, I was burning, but I burned out. Everything stopped. Linda is here. It was the first year of my marriage. And she can tell it was not the easiest time, the first year. I came into a desert. God disappeared. And in that 1 year of recovery, I learned to know God. And there was some deep thing I learned, that God is not afraid of my feelings, of my ups and downs. I even accused him. And my counselor who helped me said to me, don't be afraid. God can handle it. Pull your feelings out. Say it, name it as it is. And it was like a relief. And then I was full of bitterness and unforgiveness towards some people. And I understood that when I forgive, I was setting a prisoner free. To understand that prisoners was myself. And before I could go on the street and look at that person, I went around. But now I could go on the street, see that person, and I was free. Because forgiveness set the prisoner free. And I learned another thing that was so important for me. And that was that when my faith was shaken, the community around me carried me. And I understood that that community, Christian fellowship, is not an option among the many. It's a requirement in my following of Jesus. I need it. And I'm so happy that I had the community. So when my faith was shaking, their faith carried me through. And there's another thing I learned. And that's maybe the deepest thing that I learned, that grace is the deepest place of rest. It's the place where you don't need to fend, pretend, or perform anything. And you know, come to that place, you come to the end of yourself, and you think, God, the only thing I need is your love. And the only place I want to be is with you. I need you, God, in everything. And maybe you are in that situation now. Maybe you are there. Now, please don't go alone. Don't think you are so special. There are many ways. Come to the fellowship. Be there. And there are people here praying, can pray for you and journey with you. I'm so thankful for the community around me. You know, have you tasted that deep love of the Father? Have you tasted that there is an unconditional love that He wants to give you? Have you tasted the forgiveness of sin? Not one time there, but every day I can come to Him and pull off. That's to be a children of God. That's the child stage of faith. That's what you learn when you are children. But it continues. I'm writing to you, young man, include woman. I'm sure everything is included here. Because you have overcome the evil one. And he repeats, I'm writing to you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. When children in Christ grow into youth maturity of faith, what is recognized? John says, I'm writing to you, young men and women, because you are strong. Please, bear with me. I'm a Norwegian. Can you do one thing? Both here and where you are in the other campuses, please do this. Could you keep up your hand in front of you like this? Just keep up your hand. Please, just do it. Thank you. Keep up your hand like this. This is Jesus in front of you. Just, hello, Jesus, hello. I've tested this with Josh, so he said that's okay teaching. So, this is Jesus in front of you. Are you agreeing that Jesus has done everything necessary for your salvation? He has. Jesus in front, He has done everything necessary for your salvation. And He has done everything necessary for your eternal life that starts here and go into eternity. Jesus has done everything necessary for you. Jesus has all the power you need to restore or broken lives or broken relationship. Jesus' power is there for you. And you know, He has all power to bring the gospel, as Luke say, from Jerusalem to Judea to the ends of the world, and are able to transform people and the world we live in. Is Jesus in front of you? It's Jesus. He's able. He is able. But that Jesus in front of you, can you do it like me? Take that hand and pull it to your chest. That Jesus lives in you with your power, with his power in you. Christ in you. That's amazing. Christ lives in you. His power is in you. And a young person understands he is strong, not in himself, but because the power of God is in him. And I would like to continue and say thank you for your exercise. Thank you. I would like to continue to say they are strong in his power. And 2 Corinthians say, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness, in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly about my weakness, so Christ's power may rest on me and in me. When I'm weak, I'm strong. That's a deep lesson to learn. Because our weakness is not a threat to God. It is the God's opportunity for his grace and power in my life and through my life. And sometimes we feel discouraged on ourselves or fearful when we really mirror ourselves. But then we need to take that mirror and pull it like this and mirror us towards God. And then everything changed. God's power rests in us. And even when God allows us to use our strengths, it does not move me to pride or arrogance, because it's God who gives me the strengths, because the power of God has dwelt in me. Here. In me, the power of God, the Holy Spirit is in me. And then, 1 John, in 1 John, continue and say, it's not only the power of God, you are strong because the power of God is in you, but also because the Word of God remains in you. It is God's words that gives direction and guidance for all choices and priorities in life. When we read the Word of God, God speaks to us. When we pray, we talk with God. When we meditate and reflect on the Word of God, God speaks, we speak his word into our inner being or soul, that it grips and shapes us. Meditation in Bible, in a Bible sense, is not emptying the mind. It's filling the mind with God's thoughts and words. So the Word of God abides, live in us, renewing our thoughts and minds and come out in our hands and feet and transform us from inside. That we were washed from inside. And we change our talk and we change our walk because God lives in us. When God's words and promises conveyed through the Holy Spirit are allowed to correct our inner being, our thoughts and feelings, transforming our course, it's happening. And you gain victory over the evil one. And that's the third thing in the text. You overcome the evil one. You face life circumstances and challenges with a different gaze, with a different power than the one you have within yourself. Because sometimes that's not too much, honestly. And that's the change. So you stand during victories, during storms, challenges, and difficulties. You stand because you have grasped and been gripped by the power and the love of God has given you. And you have been, what you have been given has been activated in your life. I remember I read a book of a wise person. He said, there are a difference, logic, in God's kingdom. In the world around you, you hear, fight, win victory, then you can rest. But the logic in the Bible is fight. and rest. Then you will win victory. Because we live in a reality that He, Jesus Christ, won the victory of sin and death and the evil one. And when you have experienced His restoring power, it lives within you. It's changed everything. It's changed everything. Look at this picture. Again, back to my grandparents. They were business people in our city. And they had a hotel long back in time. And they shared the gospel with everyone. And two of the workers at the hotel was fired off by Jesus. And 24 and 26 years old, they traveled from the harbor of Kristiansand to China to win China for Christ. 24 and 26 years old. Their daughter married with a guy called Theo. They went to China also. And that picture on the wall in my wall home is the first translation of the Bible to Tibetanian language. 30 years they used to help to give the word of God to Tibet. They were young. You know, God is using people for His purpose. Look at the picture here. Next is an arrow. There's a scripture. In the last day, God will say, I will pour out my spirit of all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. You young men will see vision, and you old men will dream dreams. God is pouring out His spirit. There is an arrow who have an arrowhead, a shaft, and a feather. There's three parts. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a three-generation God. He works in generation and through generation. In this economy of the arrow, the young man and woman will speak prophetically. The young man and woman, 0 to 30, 35 years, will always be the prophetic generation. They are like the arrowhead. There is a breakthrough. They are strong. They are conquerors. Well, the disciple was teenage, beginning on the 20s, when Jesus took them and started to train them. They was young people. And I've read mission history. And in the mission history, there are young people, like the two who went to China, 24 and 26 years old. They are young people. And listen to me. Today, the world's population, 50% is under 30 years old. 50% of the world population are in the arrowhead. Do you think God will let 50% of the world's population perish? The answer is no. I don't believe it. And God is awakening something in this generation, in Europe and beyond. And we see it. Just some statistic number. You know, in UK, in England and Wales, the last 5 years, the activation of the Gen Z has gone from 4 to 16% in 5 years in the church. That's amazing. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of young people coming back to Christ. And it's happening also here, downtown. And that's a task, that's a calling out for you as a church. In England, the last 5 years, 2 million people have turned back to church. I just read recently that in France, in one of the parishes of the Catholic Church, they baptized 17,800 last Easter, this year. 8,400 were young teenage. God is doing something. God is doing something. Every generation needs to reach their own generation. But as a church, we always need to focus on the young generation. If not, you will experience like Europe. The church is dead by three generations. because they didn't manage to give over to the next generation and release them. Sons and daughters will speak prophetic. Today, we need to mobilize and release young generation to reach their own generation. But an arrowhead will not hit the goal without the shaft and the feather. We need old generation. Dear friends, who are 40, 50, 60, 70, God did not call you into a comfortable life when the children leave the home. He calls you to be spiritual mothers and fathers, to give your experience of life further on, both through your natural children and possible grandchildren, but also to spiritual children. And you who are 60, do not think you are not needed. You are needed. We need you, and many of you need you. Pull you into the next generation and your life into the next generation. Let me give you an example. Lila, a lady in our church, I challenged her just some weeks ago because we saw quite some young people, young ladies come into the church, some new believers, some, and we need to form two more groups around the young adults. And Lila is 70 years old. She has four kids. One of them are a drug addict. They have gone through the pain of life. We have walked with them. We have prayed with them. We have cried with them. And I challenged her, could you lead that young adult group? And she said, yes. Now she's leading a group with people from 20 to 25 years old, ladies. She could excuse herself, I haven't done my life where I have some kids who's not, I can. She could excuse herself. But she used, because he's strong, and she used the life experience and poured it in to a young generation. And she took with her Yen, who's 40 years old, who's a Chinese who come to faith in our church as a co-leader. And the only reason they're going to train them to be leaders themselves. And I know that she will take them to dinner. She will nurture them. She is a father. No, she's a mother for that group of people. And John say, I'm writing to you fathers and mothers. And you, I think you saw the text. You know, fathers and mothers are in between. I'm writing you children, fathers and mothers, and youth. Because fathers and mothers are the only one who can keep the family together. Try to let your kids lead a family. Have you tried? It's not functioning. Fathers and mothers are so needed, and you are needed in this time. You who know him who are from the beginning. You have experience. You have gained an experience. You know the love of God. You know the grace. You know that your sins are forgiven. You know the power is in you. You have been indwelling the word of God. You have overcome the evil one. You have experience of life as it is. They need you. Dear friends, that generation, the 50% of the world population need fathers and mothers. They need secure presence. You don't need to say so much. Just be with them. Open your house. Open your kitchen. Open your fridge. Bring them in to your home. They like food. They need you. They need a safe presence of mothers and fathers. I think it's not a time where you pass 50 to disconnect with the mission of God in your life. It's a time to reconnect and ask God, what is my mission the next 30 years? How should I invest in your kingdom? What could I contribute with? How could I connect? And how can I be a father and mother for the generation coming up? That today are seeking God. In Europe, I say, we don't know what to do. There is awakening going on outside the church. If that will be a Christian awakening, I'm not sure. The Muslim population is growing like crazy in Europe. There are all kinds of spirituality that is rising. So if the church is not awake, that awakening will pass the church. That's the danger. And it could happen. But if the church are awake, and there are some fathers and mothers enough to embrace that young generation who is lost in themselves, and this project of the secular world that think that everything going to better, they don't believe in it anymore. It's gone. And they're searching for other answers. Please, be the mother or father. I'm writing you children because you have your sin forgiven and you know the Father. Maybe some of you in here need to say, I really don't know the Father. I don't know if my sins are forgiven. Please, we want to be here and pray with you and put your faith in Christ today and experience His love and forgiveness. That's the most important you can do. Some of you who are young here, under 30, but young also spiritually, I think some of you, God calls you into His mission, not only in the city, but to the world. Honestly, I talked with a friend of me, he said, in Norway now, in a 12-year period, we are sending out 220 teams from Norway to 180 nations in the world in the next 12 months. And there's 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 young people exposed to the mission. Take the challenge. Go. And then the last, I'm writing to you fathers and mothers. Be what you are called to be. Fathers and mothers. Spiritual fathers and mothers of faith. Nurturing a generation. Bring them from childhood to adulthood to be fathers and mothers. That's your destiny. That's your calling. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of serving you, the Almighty God. And you need every one of us in your service to the world, to the lost, to the broken, to the least one. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would call out people into your kingdom, to serve into your kingdom, into the world and to the local community where they are. Because the ones who is in us is greater than he is in the world. And your power is in us. So the world may see you, Jesus. Release mothers and fathers from this congregation and give them creativity, what that will look like. We pray in your name. Amen.